MW, on my way to you. Good at what I do, I'm OMW.
Hi everyone, welcome to another exciting episode of Off Your Banter. I don't know if exciting is the right word this week. We're going to have a change of pace. I've had a few questions thrown at me by my lovely audience, and, well, in particular, one of the questions really, well, I'm going to be honest, it was a bit disappointing, because here I am, on this channel, I'm talking about my time at sea, I'm talking about adventures and stories I've had as a seafarer, as a mariner, as a sailor, as a hydrographic surveyor, doing some of the most interesting, groundbreaking work at sea that's ever been done. Like, quite honestly, some of the projects I've worked on are revolutionary, pushing the boundaries of engineering. And, you know, I've done the mileage. I was averaging 250 days a year offshore for a decade or more, you know, and that's the stuff that I bring to this channel. So the first serious question I got from anyone that's been listening or watching, now there's several different channels that this content is distributed, and one of them is YouTube, and that's the one I tend to keep an eye on because it's just... And it's actually the one with the smallest audience. Through International Yachting Radio, I have apparently thousands and thousands of people that listen. And most people listen all the way through every episode, which is great. It's fantastic. So thank you very much for that. That makes me feel not only that it's worth doing, but that I'm adding something interesting and of value about the offshore culture, about life as a seafarer. So when I got this question on the YouTube channel, that was about me as a, on a personal level, and this is content that I've been really wanting to not bring to this channel. There are other places to talk about this, but you know what? We're going to go into it, right? This is it. I'm sure a lot of you already know. I'm sure most of you do. I don't even know, nor do I care how many people look at me or listen to me immediately and think, oh yeah, she's transgender. But yes, I am a transgender woman. Or more correctly at this point in my life, I'm a woman who happens to have arrived through the passage of going through a transition. And I don't define myself as a transgender woman any more than, you know, somebody who's left-handed walks around saying, I'm a left-handed woman. It's just who I am. But that was a really long, difficult, painful, very intimate journey. 28 hours of surgery over several years, lots of hormones, lots of therapy, lots of medical and surgical interventions, lots of money, enormous personal cost. Not to mention that in an industry that's 98% male, I am, so far as I know, in the world, the first woman in offshore construction. There's another fantastic woman I know in the oil and gas sector, who's an offshore manager, offshore installation manager, runs a platform somewhere, I think, in the North Sea. And there's an amazing woman who's a sailor, goes by the moniker of Sailor Quinn. And I think she might be the first ever sailor to circumvent the world, a transgender woman to circumvent the world on a ship. And she left port in North America and went around the world and came back to North America several months later. And she's, you know, like, that's a fantastic journey and a great story to tell. But my journey, you know, I come from a poor family. I've had to work for everything I've been able to build in my life. And Yeah, part of my journey is the fact I'm transgender. So, you know, for that to be the focus of the questions I was getting, when that's nothing to do with the content I brought to this channel, was rather disappointing. Because I'm not a one-dimensional creature. No one is, regardless of their, you know, their gender, their orientation, their, you know, identity, their ethnicity. Doesn't matter. None of us are one-dimensional. We're all complex creatures with a diverse range of qualities and attributes and stories to tell. And this is not the channel I was going to talk about that, but here I am. So while we're talking about it, I'm going to give you a couple of minutes just to iron out the creases because there's so much negativity around us. There's so much hatred and ignorance around what it is to be transgender that if even a few of you just listen to this and think, okay, I've learned a bit here, that would be good because I'm sure the vast majority of what you hear, or probably all of it, comes from people who are not transgender, who have not have suffered from gender dysphoria and are not people that know anything about it. You know, the old tropes and the old, you know, the hatred, the stuff that, oh, you're not a real woman and you're not a real man if you're a transgender man, or transgender men are invisible in the whole narrative. All the hatred seems to be directed at us, transgender women. So, you know, they talk about XX and XY chromosomes and all that kind of stuff. Well, look, certainly a couple of percent, probably anything up to maybe 5% of the human population on this entire planet suffer from some anomaly, something unusual, something less common in regards to their gender or their sex. That's just the way it is. There are at least six chromosome pairings that relate to gender and sexual and sex that you know, not just XX and XY, but there's a number of different other permutations. The XX XY is high school biology, and you know, you learn a lot more about it if it's your discipline. Not just that, but our anatomy, endocrinology, neurology, psychology, all of it, you know. And there are no children going in being converted to be transgender. There's no such thing as transgenderism in the same way that there's no such thing as cancerism or left-handedism or tallism or shortism, you know. It's absolute nonsense. On top of that, okay, let me just, you know, TLDR this. Too long didn't read. Okay, I'm not gonna make the whole episode about this. But I am gonna make this whole episode have a different tone and talk about some of the journey I've been through as a mariner and as a sailor, you know. So in a 98% male industry, the amount of abuse and trauma and attacks and exclusion that I faced as a transgender woman, the first, or certainly amongst the first globally in this industry, was shockingly bad. And I'm not going into details, but there's a lot of people that do know some of my story. And, you know, I think the last time I talked about a fragment of that story to a room full of hardened senior management veterans from a major company, most of them were in tears. So yes, it's been a struggle. Yes, it's tough. But I'm out the other side of that now, having secured a full-time permanent role. I've finally shaken that last lingering bit of barrier that I had to break through after all of the treatments, the surgery, and all of that stuff, right? And I have been out for quite a long time now, several years, I've had all of the surgeries that I'm ever going to have or need in relationship to this condition. But realistically, that's just between me and my physician and any partner that I have in my life. It's nothing to do with anyone else. So that's it. So what is it to be transgender? Well, it simply means that you're born into the wrong body. All of the emerging medical evidence absolutely shows that there's a strong biological correlation with the fact that our brain chemistry, our neurology, is the gender that we identify with. So I was always a woman, but I was stuck inside a man's body, a bit like a genie in a bottle, a genie in a man-shaped bottle, battering from the inside to get out. And it took a long time for me because of the culture, the time, access to resources, and just dealing with it. So, okay, that's all real. That all happened. It's not how I define myself. I don't walk around the world saying, I'm a transgender woman. I don't try and convert other people. I simply want to live my life like every single transgender person I know, and I know hundreds around the world. We all just want to get on and live our lives. And the irony is that people who don't know anything about it and come from a place of fear, hatred, ignorance, misinformation, they think it's abnormal for us to want to correct this medical condition. But for us, it's the most normal thing in the world to become ourselves and actually feel like we can breathe and live for the first time ever. So I've got through all that, I've done it, and I really don't want to talk about it that much anymore. I went through a period where I had to talk about it a lot because I was in that process of transitioning. And at that time, if you'd asked me, yes, I would have said I was a transgender woman, but that was to explain it to other people while I was going through the process of not having all of my bits and my identity and how I presented to the world aligned with my inner reality. But now that's all as aligned as it can be. I just get on with my life. As you know, my name is Kim Asher, and I'm a woman, and I work in the offshore industry. Well, I used to. Now I still work with ships, but I'm on land. And I don't name names of companies or projects and stuff like that, as you know. But I'm very happy with the company I've joined. They stood far out and above of all of the other companies I've spoken to in wanting to embrace the unique set of skills, experiences, and attitudes and work ethic that I bring to my role, which has an enormously long and successful track record. I went for 10 months without having any income because it was the first time I was applying for a new job as an out transgender woman. That and the fact that when I first came out, I suffered so much abuse and hatred from a lot of people, physical attacks and verbal assaults and other things, that I had two choices. I could run away and hide under a rock and disappear, or I had to come out fighting. And of course, I came out fighting because that's what I do. And when I say fighting, I mean just standing up loud and proud, out loud and proud. So I had to do that to survive. And I did. And that meant that I had to say brutal reality and I had to create a platform for myself. And I did that, not writing articles about being transgender or banging that drum, but actually by tackling some of the hardest issues that everybody in the industry was talking about behind closed doors, but no one had the courage to say out loud. So I said those things out loud about the way projects are financed, about the politics, about liabilities, about regulatory frameworks. I talked about some really heavy, hardcore stuff that a lot of people express concern with and that actually are systemic issues that need to be resolved if we're going to have any chance at all in green energy and renewables of meeting targets and, you know, turning back that tide of carbon economy into something that's more regenerative and healthier. And that's the focus of my career now, and has been for many years, is to really to be at the forefront of accelerating our race to make the world a cleaner place. I built many of the world's largest wind farms, being on the team that's done that in a variety of different capacities. And I'm proud of that achievement. I'm also proud of the fact that I am the first transgender woman in the world to get to this point, to have done those things and to be out and doing them and talk about what I bring to the table as a professional. That's been a hard-won achievement, and I'm proud of it. But it's not my identity. I'm a photographer, an art, as you can see, is one of my photographs. A photographer, an artist, a music producer. I make all my own clothes. I'm a dressmaker. I'm a good cook. I haven't cooked for quite a while recently, not been in the mood. And a veteran seafarer and a cybernetic theorist. And of course, you know, a professional in the industry. I have a lot of bows to my strings, strings to my bow. I have a lot of strings to my bow and a few bows probably as well. So that's my journey. That's who I am. And so please, anyone you meet, regardless of what it is about them, whether it's their nationality, their ethnicity, their religion, their personal beliefs or habits, you know, their gender identity, their sexual orientation, which are two different things, by the way. Accept them for who they are. Celebrate the differences. Diversity is literally one of the best things the human race has got going for it. The ability for different people to have different ideas, to swap those ideas and make a better future for everyone. But at the same time, accepting the differences in each other. That's a powerful tool at our disposal. And we all grow stronger from a shared narrative that includes everybody. And I'm hoping that what you've learned from the previous episodes, that even when I've talked about having to remove people off ships, most of the time, I try and bring empathy and compassion to that. Most of the time, you know, I've described them as people that are just doing the wrong thing at the wrong time in the wrong place, and it's not good for them, it's not good for us. And those are processes that have to be managed for the betterment of them and for the betterment of the project that I'm working on. And I really very rarely hold grudges. And I really don't wish harm to people. Where I draw the line at that is where people wish me harm. Because, you know, like the catch-22 that's easily resolved with liberal values is like the only thing that liberalism should not be seeking to accept are ideas that destroy liberalism. Aside from that, liberalism, classical liberalism, is very simple. Every individual should enjoy the maximum range of rights and freedom in their personal existence as they possibly can, up until the point where those rights butt into other people's rights. So, you know, that's why I have a real bone to pick with the 600 plus bills passing or being put forwards in the US, specifically against transgender people, that deny our access to exist, that are literally genocidal levels of legislation. Or I have a problem, you know, with anything that takes a minority group of people and seeks to destroy them or belittle them or dehumanize them. I just don't accept that. I will not accept that. And I will fight against those things. But this is not my platform for doing this. But in light of all of that, you know, I was driving home from work today, Thursday afternoon. And it's been quite hard to get back into an office routine. And I found myself quite emotional. And it was about a half an hour drive back from work to where I live. And I cried the whole way. And I cried because before I went offshore, like 15 years ago, I had a family. I had aunts and uncle, cousins, grandparents, my mother. And since I've been away working on ships all of those years and living in different countries as part of that industry and part of the work I've had to do, I've now found myself as a sailor washed up on the beach on a different continent. And there's been no plan other than I've just been pursuing the most challenging, rewarding projects I could get hold of, because I have a fierce passion for really trying to do something good about, you know, I have skills and knowledge and intelligence and a work ethic that I believe can make a difference. And I bring that to every role, and I'm very committed to it, because I do fiercely believe that we need to wean ourselves off burning millions of tons of fossil fuels every year. And I'm doing what I can to be part of that solution. And it's not, you know, I'm not special. There's thousands of people in the industry, and some of them are committed like me. A lot of them are. I'm just one of those people. But that means that all of those days offshore every year, all of that effort, all of that time, and all of that commitment and focus, and the difficulty of at the same time transitioning into who I am, becoming myself, and a lot of other personal challenges. And I've literally bounced around the planet, worked on 4 continents, more countries than I can remember. And here I am, in Taiwan. And I've got through all of the obstacles, all of the barriers, every challenge. I've survived everything thrown at me and finally landed a job that gives me some sense of stability and permanence and has taken me out of the offshore environment, but still in the industry, and enabling me a chance to basically put down an anchor and build a life. Because that's one of the things, if you're listening this long, this is really the big point of this talk. It's not to wave the transgender flag, although I will strongly defend that territory if anyone comes stepping their big toes into it, or putting their big feet into it. But it's to warn my colleagues, my offshore siblings, sailors and seafarers of all types and shapes and sizes everywhere around the world. It is magical to be on a ship. There's a rhythm. It's powerful, hypnotic. It's beautiful and terrible. It's boring and exciting. It is a microcosm of everything in life. And that rhythm is entrancing. And the danger I found that as a sailor, especially one that's done so many days offshore in such a short space of time, is that you become uprooted. You lose your anchor, you go adrift, you literally start drifting around the world on a ship. One ship after another, one port after another, one job after another. And years slip past, the seasons slide by effortlessly, because if you're doing 1, 2, 3 months, you know, at a time, and quite often I'll do 3 month trips, 3 months you're away. And then for me, I'd be back not even 3 months on land. And you're tired when you get back, and then you're getting ready to go before you go. And there's a narrow sliver in the middle where you can have a bit of a life that's not on a ship. And then when you stop and you look back, I don't have that family now. I think there would have been about maybe 12 people in my immediate family, like first cousins, aunts, uncles, stuff like that, grandparents. if we'd had a family gathering, it would have been 12 people. Now I've stopped and found myself on another continent, on the other side of the planet, trying to build a happy life for myself, which I am actually doing. I have succeeded, I've survived, and finding a little bubble of happiness that I'm trying to grow. But I was driving back from work, and all I could see were the faces of my family that have died in the last few years, that I'll never see again. And I felt this dramatic sense of loss. My family now amounts to 3 people. My mother, my grandmother, and my grandfather. My grandfather has dementia very badly and accelerating. My grandmother is 97 in 2 months. And then there's my mother. And I'm on another continent, and I very rarely see them. And soon it will just realistically be my mother and me. And that felt really disconcerting, that none of my family survived long enough to see me get to a point where I've come through the other side. And that was an emotional moment. So the danger, I think, for anyone offshore is that you get lulled into basing everything around your life to do with being on ships and the career. And it's a career that is not like other careers, because we are in a bubble away from the reality of land. And while what we do is important, and we play with big toys, and we live in a very exotic and exciting environment. I know it's quite often just a steel can with a grey horizon and the drone of engines and pumps and winches and chipping guns and, you know, all of that stuff. The food can often be quite bad. All of that stuff, I know, right? Been there, done it, got the t-shirt. But still, nothing quite like being on a ship. But when you stop and look back, you may find yourself washed up on a beach on the other side of the planet with all of your family dead. And kind of wondering where your life is. And I'm doing okay. Look, I'm not down about it. I literally have endured and survived a lot. And I've come out the other side. And I'm very optimistic about my career, very optimistic about who I am as a person. I love who I am. I love what I do. I'm very committed to it. But I have that sense of dislocation sometimes. And I think my word of advice would be, keep an eye out. Keep an eye on land occasionally. Have a bit of a plan about what you're going to do and how it's going to work out. And try and do the odd thing to make that happen for yourself, because we can't be sailors forever. Right, that's it. It's a different episode today, isn't it? That is it. It's a different episode today. So, hopefully I answered some of the questions that were thrown about me, about my private life. Didn't do a proper question and answer backwards and forwards, but I covered everything I think that's been thrown at me. And I've gone and lifted up the rug and shown you a bit of the dirt underneath it. But I will continue with the usual broadcast content in the next episode. That's it. So, if you're on watch, if you're at sea, if you're far away from home right now, have a good watch. Be a good shipmate. Look after each other. Get home safely. Lots of love. Thank you for watching, or listening, or just being part of this little show that I do. Take care, everyone. Bye for now.